Brad Hunt. 17 seconds. Right side, Marchessault. Centering try, score! Tipped in by Carlson. Power play goal with 13 seconds to go in the first. Elaine on the left side, Holden shoots, knocked down, rebound, score! Ryan Reeves, and the Knights take a 2-0 lead. Couldn't get it in front. Knights get the puck. It's out to center. 20 seconds to go. Marchessault all alone with an open net. Marchessault scores! 8 seconds left. Play on the near side. Knights get it to center. Belmar ahead for Reeves. 3 seconds to go, and here's the horn. Knights win it against the Ducks, 3-1. Three straight wins for Vegas.
Eight o'clock Sunday morning, Fox Sports Radio. 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, the flagship station of the 2018 Western Conference champion Vegas Golden Knights. We are streaming on the LV Sports Network. And if you have Facebook Live and feel like torturing yourself, you can go to my page and watch the show. If you're listening for the first time, this is Out of Line, and we are right here every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. I am Brian Feldman, and directly in front of me, producer and Lotus Broadcasting on-air personality, Chris Magnum Chapman. You can follow the show on Twitter at Out of Line, 1340 AM, and follow us on Facebook. That's Out of Line, OUTTALINE. When Magnum's in the mood for callers, hey, they're welcome. If not, he might not let you in. The Fox Sports studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
What's on Tap coming out thanks to Cardinal Financial Company at 3145 St. Rose Parkway, Suite 201 in Henderson. On tap after last night, the Vegas Golden Knights are on a three-game winning streak and go back to 500. You'll hear from Marc-Andre Fleury and Cullen Miller. UNLV football took another L Friday night at Sam Boyne on homecoming. Max Gillum is the Rebel quarterback, and you'll hear his thoughts after the game. Alan Snell will join with LV Sports Biz Minute. As of last night, the World Series matchup is set, and we'll talk NFL Week 7, plus a cool surprise and a great giveaway coming your way a little later. I promise you want to hang around for it, especially if you like Halloween and escape rooms. I'll leave it at that for now. That's What's on Tap, thanks to Cardinal Financial Company. They are nationwide with a local office here in Vegas area. And whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance the home you're in, the Cardinal Financial Company has the mortgage program you're looking for, from standard conventional and FHA to down payment assistance and lender-paid PMI. Looking to buy a condo, townhouse, or investment property, Cardinal Financial has got you. Many times when the bank says no, the Cardinal Financial Company says yes. Cardinal Financial is the first and last place to call when you need home financing. For detailed information or to apply online, go to cardinalfinancial.com. And by the way, when I'm not in studio or at a sporting event, I'm in my office as a senior loan officer at Cardinal Financial to make Vegas dreams realities. As a matter of fact, if you have questions, give me a call personally. My direct line in my office, 702-623-8236. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why. This is why. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why. This is why. This is why I'm hot. I'm hot because I'm fly. You ain't because you not. Yeah, blazing. Is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings at the 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. It is a long slap shot from Centennial Hills Hospital. They have two happy hours every day. Buffalo Wild Wings is America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. And don't forget, every Monday night I'll be down there. Sometimes Mags comes down. We have other people that come on down. It's a good time. And we give away wing parties. We give away some team paraphernalia, some glassware. It's really cool. It's a great time. And I'm walking around giving away free wings all the time. Definitely check it out. We will be there tomorrow night. So come on down and say hello. The New York Giants visit the Atlanta Falcons. And we'll be down there doing all that good stuff. But blazing, man. I don't know if there's anything more blazing than Marc-Andre Fleury the last couple of games. The last three games, he's playing just like he did last year. People, including myself, were a little worried about him coming to this year. I think, you know, he's had a lot of concussions in his mid-30s. I still know he can play great on any given night, but to do it three games in a row, didn't face a ton of shots last night, but did face some quality shots. and nearly got his 50th shutout. What he did do was get his 408th career victory, and Marc-Andre Fleury is the 10th winningest goaltender of all time. And if you look at the history of the NHL and how long that's gone on, that is an unbelievable accomplishment. He is a bona fide Hall of Famer. It has been an honor and a pleasure last year to watch this guy play, and I'm excited to do it again. Mags, how much do you love this guy as a goaltender, man? I mean, is he just unbelievable or what?
Well, I mean, the thing is, I'm very fortunate in that I get to talk to Marc-Andre Fleury a lot. And what amazes me about Marc-Andre Fleury is, for as great of a goaltender he is, he's an even better guy. Like, there's not a lot of people you can say that about, where not only are they really good at their job, but they're quality people away from their job. And you know, just conversations I have with Marc-Andre Fleury on a day-to-day basis, and it's like, I mean, we talk about everything from cars to ice cream to him not tripping over the helmet as he comes out on the ice first. You know, there's a lot of really cool things. I mean, he is just a great guy, and you know, we're seeing just how good of a goalie he is, because even though he didn't get a lot of work last night, and I think maybe the goal he gave up was probably because of the lack of shots that he faced. I mean, the Ducks only had 9 shots through first two periods. I'm not a goalie, but I would imagine it's quite hard to keep your focus when you're not staying busy. And, you know, he's allowed 2 goals in the last 3 games. So he's playing exceptional hockey, and now the team is starting to play a little bit better behind him, too. I mean, they played really great against Buffalo. They played really good last night. I thought they probably would have scored a little more if John Gibson wasn't on the other side, but I mean, he's great. Marc-Andre Fleury is fantastic on and off the ice, and honestly, he's one of my favorite people that I've ever dealt with in this business.
Chris, I say the same thing, man. I told you, you know, I wanted to hate him being a Red Wings fan, coming here, what he did to us with Sidney Crosby and Crosby's rookie year, coming back from a 3-1 deficit and beating the Detroit Red Wings in the Stanley Cup Finals. I hated the guy when he came here. I was really hoping he'd be a jerk, and as you just said, Chris, he is one of the nicest superstars. I'm not going to say one of. He is the nicest superstar I have ever met, bar none. I'm going to say that right now. He is just great. He's accommodating. I'll never forget what he did for me last year after game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals, when I went to see him in the locker room to try to get an interview, and he let me know he can't interview. He doesn't talk to the media during the practices during the playoffs. He said, I'll get you tonight at the game. And he literally saw me in the locker room and beckoned me over and said, I owe you an interview. That nothing like that has ever happened to me in my career doing this, Chris. I've never had that happen to me before.
Yeah.
Stanley Cup Finals, dude. I mean, Come on. Who am I?
And we had heard from the Pittsburgh media just how much we're going to really fall in love with this guy. I mean, he's got an infectious smile. He's always talking to his teammates. His teammates clearly love him. You know, I talked to Will Carrier last night, and every time I talk to Will Carrier and talk about Flower, he always says, best goalie in the league. John Marchessault, same thing, best goalie in the league. They love this guy. He's a leader.
He's a luxury, Max. Well, he is a luxury.
Well, he, I mean, obviously when you have a goalie as good as him, it is a luxury. But you could tell the guys go out and they really play hard for him and they love him. And, you know, you don't see a lot of players. And granted, I don't cover a lot of teams in the NHL. I cover one. But I don't see and hear a lot of guys talk about their goalie the way the Golden Knights talk about Marc-Andre Fleury. I mean, you could tell he is a beloved person in that locker room.
No, he, without question, every guy just has nothing but great things to say about Marc-Andre Fleury. And when you talk to him yourself, you know why. He's just got a great personality. He just, like I said, you look at him at first, and he looks like the guy that would be dropping off your UPS package. And he's just one of the greatest goalies that's ever played the game, that's all. Really cool guy. I got a chance to talk to him. Just a couple of questions after the game last night, after his historic run and his 408th victory, top 10 of all time now. And every time I talk to him, as Chris said, man, I just love it. This is Marc-Andre Fleury, man. Marc-Andre, 50, all these years in the NHL and top 10. I know you've answered the question a few times tonight, but it's got to really mean something to you. That's a hell of an accomplishment.
Well, thank you. Something I'm proud of, right? But at the same time, no, I feel very fortunate that I play with great teammates and great teams. You know, it's an honor for me to be among these, you know, these guys that I look up to, and it's pretty cool. Pretty cool to be there.
Just was this the best team for this, the best win for this team this year?
If it was the best team?
No, was this the best win so far? Do you think this was your best win and best game so far?
That was our best game, you know. I thought it was... We dominated, I thought, from start to finish, you know, with the puck lots and created a lot. And I think our game's been improving in the last few weeks, and this was our best one.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Yeah, it sure does. The puck started here a couple of weeks ago, and the Vegas Golden Knights didn't get off to the best start. Lost their opener of the season. It was a home opener against the Philadelphia Flyers, one of the few teams last year that gave them fits in the neutral zone, and they beat them. And then, of course, they went on the road. Great game against another team that gave them fits. What a way to start the season. All three of the teams that gave them fits last year, they played early on, and they went to Minnesota. They beat them in a shootout that was awesome. And then, of course, they went on a three-game losing streak. Everyone got all paranoid. They ended the road trip in Philadelphia, where it started, where the team that beat them in the home opener, they avenged that loss, came back, avenged a loss against Buffalo, and then last night just beat the team that right now is the leader in the Western Conference in the Anaheim Ducks, and they did it convincingly. And, you know, last night, Gerard Gallant was questioned about the fact that so many shots against the Sharks goaltender and not a lot went in. Mags, that guy has played lights out the first 2 weeks of the season. People need to look at, statistically, it's not just the Golden Knights. Everyone's having trouble putting the puck past this guy. That's why they'd only lost one game going into last night.
Yeah, Gibson's goals against average was under 2 going into the game last night. He only gave up 2 goals on, I think, 42 shots. So, you know, he's maybe the best in the game right now. And he's carrying that Ducks team because I'll tell you what, I didn't see a lot of, and maybe Anaheim just didn't play a good game, but I didn't see a team that was as good as their record was because they had a lot of trouble getting the puck through the neutral zone. They had a tough time getting shots on net. Golden Knights blocked a lot of shots. I think the Golden Knights maybe outhit them. You know, and the thing is, John Gibson just, he kept the Ducks in that game. Otherwise, it's probably a 5 or 6 goal night for the Golden Knights because you put a lot of other goalies back there. The way the Golden Knights were shooting, it was a bombardment. And I got to give credit to Ryan Wallace, who does the Daily Show here on Fox 2 to 3. He said on Friday, the Golden Knights are going to have about 40 shots on net. They're going to have about 40 shots on Gibson. And what they're going to need is quality shots to beat him. And the Ryan Reeves goal, which turned out to be the game winner, it was a shot from Nick Holden from the point.
It was a rebound.
I think it hit Gibson in the mask and fell right to Reeves, who put it past him.
On his belly, though. That's what was pretty cool. Reeves was on the ground, going sliding forward and had the wherewithal to put the puck in the net.
And then
you got to love that.
The power play goal, Carlson just had a great shot. So, you know, other than that, Gibson really didn't make a lot of mistakes. And I heard some Duck players after the game said, well, that's his job. Well, they didn't exactly make it easy on him either. It's like, yeah, my job could be easier from people I work with too, but it's still my job. But, you know, it's one of those things. It was Gibson played a great game, and I thought Fleury played a great game, even though he wasn't tested much. When he was, he came up with the saves outside of the one that kind of squirted through his legs. And from what someone was telling me after the game, that came from being a little aggressive, where he went for the poke check as opposed to closing his legs. Otherwise, that probably doesn't get in. But I thought all in all, it was a good game. I really thought they played good. Cody Eakin, and I know a lot of people aren't Cody Eakin fans because...
Hell of a start to the season.
Well, because he doesn't light up the net. And it's like, well, what Cody Eakin does is he does all the little things.
He's bothersome.
Yeah, but he does all the little things you need to do to win hockey games. Yeah. And I guess when Alex Tuch got his big contract on Friday, he went out to dinner with Shea Theodore, who's his buddy, and Cody Eakin, who Alex Tuch told me one day last year that Cody Eakin was like another coach on the ice. And I think that's a testament to what a great player Cody Eakin is, because he scores when he needs to, but he plays such a 200-foot game. He's such a great defensive center. He wins faceoffs. He's not afraid to get in and mix it up. But he helps all the young guys get better. I talked to Ryan Carpenter, and he just had glaring, great, amazing things to say about what a great player Cody Eakin is. And I just think this team, they're starting to come together. They got back to 500, but people were panicking. But the thing was, all those four games they lost, they're against Eastern Conference teams. It's not the end of the world. They didn't play great against Philadelphia the first game. I didn't think they played great against Minnesota, but you have new guys. They're kind of meshing, trying to gain that chemistry. But to me, the fourth line of the Golden Knights has been the spark. The Reeves, Belmar, Carrier line. Every night those guys are out there. And when I talk to Will Carrier, I've talked to him twice this week. And every time I talk to him, he tells me, every shift we take is the most important shift of the game for us. It doesn't matter if it's in the first period or if it's in the third period. It's the most important shift. And that's the way those guys approach it. And that's the way those guys are playing. They're playing like every shift of the – or every minute of the game depends on how those guys play. That's how they take it. They take it serious. They like to have fun. And I'll tell you what. Will Carrier, he may not light up the lamp, but he is a really good, aggressive player. He's fast. And – I'll tell you, him and Reeves together with Belmar, you have the power of Reeves, who's not afraid to go out and hit guys. Carrier the same way. And then you have Belmar, who's such a cerebral player. It's my favorite line. I mean, and I love the first line, Carlson, Marchessault, and Smith. But every time that fourth line gets on the ice, I get excited because I love watching those three guys play together.
Well, I'll tell you what, you get excited and other teams get nervous as hell and don't like it because those guys are damn good. Probably one of the best fourth lines in hockey, if not the best. Being the fact, and what's funny is Ryan Reeves, I don't want to say he's getting softer hands at this point in his career, but he is finding the net, and he's always been a guy that crashed the net, but more so to be disruptive than to score. And now he's scoring, and it's really kind of a cool thing. I really enjoy it. I enjoy the fourth line. We talked about the second line, and that'll be something we'll talk about more down the road. Hopefully it'll get better. Again, I'm not going to waste time talking about William Carlson and his problems because he doesn't have any. That first line is unbelievable. But you did say one thing about Cody Eakin being a leader on the ice, about Belmar being a leader on the ice. There's no question Jonathan Marchessault is a tremendous leader on the ice. Riley Smith is a leader on the ice. Derek, but here's the thing. I'm a traditionalist. And I understand what Gerard Gallant is doing, and I understand the philosophy behind the alternates. I get it. You know, when Marchessault walked in and saw an A on his chest, that had to mean the world to him. But the point is you got to have a C eventually. And I wonder how many seasons it will take. I'm guessing right now, and I'm going to put it out there, I believe that at this time next year there will be a C on the Vegas Golden Knights. I know you don't think so.
No, I don't.
I do. I do.
I think because what they're doing works. They've got the core of this team locked up long-term. Derek England is only on a one-year deal. He's the guy that I think a lot of people would point to. But who knows if Derek England's going to be around next year. I don't think they do it because what they're doing works.
I get it.
Marchessault takes it serious. You know, he is a leader in the locker room.
I don't believe there's ever been a squad, maybe one time, where there's not been a C on a squad
before.
I don't think
the Maple Leafs have a captain.
So I understand to form team unity. Like I said, I'm a traditionalist. I think you got to have a guy out there that everyone leans on, and eventually I think that will materialize for the Golden
Knights.
I don't
think you do because I think all these guys lean on each other.
Well, they do, but you've got that with every sport. Hockey's a sport where you have a captain. You've always had a captain. And I get it. Like I said, Gerard Gallant's a traditionalist. I'm not going to go against the Turk. I'm just saying that I think we will see one. Again, my prediction, next year at this time we'll have one. I want to roll things along. I got a chance to talk to another player that I love. I think we both enjoy a lot. He's an offensive-minded defenseman. And we were talking about that fourth line. One of the questions I did ask him, and you'll hear, was about Carrier and Reeves, like, who hits harder? But I got a chance to talk to Colin Miller after the game last night.
So, Colin, hell of a game tonight. Would you say this is the most complete game you guys have played this year?
Maybe. I thought Buffalo was pretty good, too. But, yeah, I definitely think, you know, we're finding our stride here, which is good after, you know, this slow start.
How much is this crowd? It just doesn't change, man. I mean, every game I come here and this place is just packed, the largest crowds in the NHL. How does that feel as a player here?
It's awesome. I mean, we love coming home, and, you know, we definitely love our fans. So saw a guy tonight, regular season games, got his face fully painted. You know, it's pretty cool, you know, the emotion that they bring into the rink. And I think, you know, it comes out of us as well.
You feel like now you guys are out shooting almost every team you play, and now a few of more are going in, but still you got a lot more shots on goal. What's it going to take to get more even getting past the net mind?
Yeah, we've definitely been, I think, offensive. Obviously, the power play. If the power play gets going, that's, you know, a way to really generate a lot more goals. It was nice that we had another one tonight, but that's a big area that we can definitely keep improving on. But, you know, I mean, pucks are going to – it kind of happens sometimes, you know, if the pucks don't go in. And if we just stick with our process like we did tonight, then genuinely we're fine.
How about Flower, man? Out of all these years in the NHL, one of the top 10 goalies. I mean, we all thought that originally, but to actually have that moniker, how do you guys feel about that?
Yeah, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, you know. I mean, he's an exceptional person, exceptional hockey player, and it's pretty nice looking back there and having him bail you out.
Last question. Defensively, you guys playing pretty solid right now. How much do you guys talk about with the absence of Nate Schmidt, how you guys have to compensate and make up for that?
Yeah, I don't think one player is, you know, going to replace Nate. He's such a solid player, and him and Braden did a great job last year with shutting down a lot of the big lines, which is, you know, why we had so much success. But I think, you know, we have nine solid defensemen on this team that can play, and you know, whoever's in just sticks with the process, and we you know, are generally all right.
Last question. That last line has got to be fun to watch with Carrier and Reeves out there. Yeah. Who hits harder?
I don't know. They're all big boys, but they do well. I mean, they're responsible defensively, and they're obviously fun to watch, but they're quick. I mean, that's a huge part of our game is being first on pucks, and they definitely are.
I love that guy. I really do. I like Colin Miller a lot, Mags. I think he is an integral part of this team, and I think with the absence of Nate Schmidt, guys like Colin Miller really have to step up, and he's done that. He did it last year, too. I mean, this is an offensive-minded defenseman that can play the game at both ends, and he does a great job at it.
Yeah, I think he's still getting comfortable with his role of being a first-pairing defenseman. It's a big step up, because last year he played the third pairing, and I think because of the style of offense he played, it was natural to put him with Brady McNabb. But yeah, I mean, I think he's going to come around. It's a lot of responsibility for him, and he's still a relatively young guy, but he's a guy who's going to be here for a while, and I think the fans are going to start to like him.
All right, well, we got Alan Snell on the phone right now. Alan, of course, LVSportsBiz.com, over 100,000 subscribers strong. Check it out. It's the business side of sports. Always a good time. I see Alan at every Golden Knights game. Matter of fact, you know what we were saying, Mags, about Alan Snell? It's become like, where's Waldo? It's where's Alan? Every time I turn around, the guy's at every event, man. He doesn't miss anything. What's going on, Mr. Snell?
Hey, good morning, guys. You're right. I get around either by car or bicycle. I'm going to be there.
You are. And where are you at now? You out at Red Rock National Park again?
Well, it's a little damp, so I'm actually kind of working on the bike this morning. We'll try to get out later.
All right. Well, good deal. What you got for me?
Well, last night, three stories on Vegas Golden Knights. The lead story of the site is just on the attendance. It is a huge national story. After three home dates, the Golden Knights are averaging 106% of capacity of that arena. It's unbelievable. They're averaging 18,417 fans in a building where capacity is technically 17,367. And it's really one of the great success stories, I think, in Major League sports, not just the NHL. They're averaging 106% of capacity, which is second highest in the National Hockey League, only trailing Chicago, which is around 109%. Also, there's a couple of interesting retail stories. There's a retired Metro sergeant who's coming out with, he's mass producing this licensed headgear where it looks kind of like a funny cartoon character on your head. Holding a puck and a hockey stick. So his name is Tom Wagner. He's working with the Golden Knights on that, so look for that item in a few months. And also close to my heart with bicycling, the Golden Knights have just unveiled a new bicycle jersey and bicycle shorts. They just unveiled it yesterday, in fact. So I talked to Brian Killingsworth, the chief marketing officer, about that little piece of apparel. High-end, very, very sharp looking. So check that out at the Golden Knights a team store at the training center.
That's perfect for you, Alan. I mean, as being the cyclist you are, and, you know, you've told the story. I'm looking forward to your book coming out because you talked about how really the Golden Knights have, you know, it's amazing how they've morphed your career and, you know, changed probably a lot of the way you initially planned to do things when you came back to Vegas. And they have been, you know, in my lifetime, as I said, it's something I wouldn't have even put on a bucket list because it would have been a waste of time. What we saw last year was nothing short of miraculous. The most amazing thing I've seen in my life covering sports for all these years and interviewing all the people I have. I've never experienced anything like I did last year. And I understand why the fans are packing the stadium. It is an event. Like I said, brother, it's like a Cirque du Soleil show and a hockey game breaks out. That's pretty much what it's like going to T-Mobile Arena, and I feel honored.
We were interviewing Fleury just last night, and that's exactly what he said. It's just, you know, it's unbelievable the entertainment that wraps around the hockey game. So, and yes, the thanks for mentioning the book, Brian. The my book, Long Road Back to Las Vegas, is actually coming out in early November. It's at the publisher, and the first shipment book should be here in the first week of November. So I'll definitely bring down a few books for you guys.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. I want that first copy hot off the press, man, and we'll definitely give away some to listeners, as we've talked about. I'm really looking forward. It's an inspiring story, my friend, and a blessing that you're here and what you went through. But, hey, it's all part of building intestinal fortitude. He is Alan Snell, LVSportsBiz.com. Definitely check it out. Again, over 100,000 subscribers strong. You should be one of them. You will definitely like it. Alan, we'll see you soon, my friend. I know where's Alan will pop up in the next couple days somewhere.
I don't know where I'm going to be. I just know I'll be someplace.
Me as you, me. I know as well. Again, he's Alan Snell, LVSportsBiz.com. Listen, we've got some real cool surprises for you coming up in a little bit down the road. We are going to talk about UNLV football. I did get a chance to talk to Max Gillum after the game on Friday night, homecoming game. We'll talk about that. NFL Week 7. Magnum was the only one that picked the game right last week. That's a rarity, man. I'm back in last place again, but that's where I was last year at this time before I went on an 11-game winning streak, so not too worried about that. And like I said, man, we are going to be giving away something. We've got some cool guests in studio. You'll be hearing all that right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Personally, I'm not a vocal person. But I have to get out of my comfort zone, and I just have to keep everybody up, keep our confidence level up, and I just have to practice harder than I've been practicing, play harder than I've been playing. And even if I'm doing good, I can know I could do better than that, so I just have to go out, give my all, and just try to lead by example and see if they'll follow me and do good too.
Megs, I don't want to rain on anybody's parade, and these are kids playing college football, and I don't like to get too down on them, but leading he follows. Megs, have you watched Jericho Flowers the last couple games play football? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I'm not going to say a whole lot. I think the entire defense needs to be better. I think that's a good way to put it because, look, I don't know if a lot of people know this or not. Air Force has been playing football for a long time. I mean, a little longer than UNLV, over 50 years. Friday night is the first time in the history of Air Force football they had a quarterback run for 100 yards and throw for 200 yards in the same game. That's unacceptable. And I've been a big cheerleader for Tony Sanchez. I'm not off the bandwagon. I still think the guy is the right fit here at UNLV. Problem is, you got to start producing. You got to have results. And the defense did not play a good game on Friday night. And look, I get it's tough against Air Force because of the offense that they run. But their quarterback completed nine passes, and he had like 215 yards. He averaged 22 yards a completion, a 69-yard touchdown pass. 100% unacceptable. That's on everybody associated with the defense, from the head coach down. Those guys have to be better. And the secondary especially, because, again, Dalton Baker cannot be your leading tackler.
That's my line, man. Why are you stealing my line?
I've been saying that for 2 years. I don't know what he finished with, but I know he had 8 tackles in the first half.
He led the team again in tackles. And, I mean, it's every week. And when your free safety, which is your last line of defense, is leading your team in tackles, it's a really bad thing. That means that they are constantly getting to the second and third level offensively. And that's why UNLV is getting so many points scored against them. But, yeah, it is, you know, I really don't know the answers for Tony Sanchez. I think that we saw probably the best fourth quarter out of UNLV that we've seen in a couple of years. I'll give him that. They closed well. Mags, would you say that what we saw Max Gillum do, and hey, you did call that on the pregame show on Saturday, I will say that, but do you think he's the guy until Armani Rogers gets back? You think they'll keep the kid from Liberty on the bench?
Yeah, you have to. At this point, the season's lost. There's no point in taking the red shirt off of Oblad. I just don't see a reason. Tony Sanchez has maintained he's not ready. I think you got to stick with that because I agree with my compatriot Tyler Bischoff from the pregame show. I don't think you take the red shirt off of him. Although what he says is you can't look at 4 years down the road. If he's the better quarterback and he's going to help you win, you have to play him today because you may not be here in 4 years.
See, and that's what I say. I don't know what it is. It's like Oblad looks like Ronnie Bass from Remember the Titans. I just think he'll come in and he'll be sunshine and start lighting up the field. It's his hometown. He's got a ton of fans here. He graduated from Liberty High School. I thought let the kid play, but Max did show up last game, put up some numbers. He fit the ball into some pretty tight windows at times, and you could see that he could play the position at this level.
Well, he had a couple of drop passes, not a lot. Not as many as of recent weeks, maybe one or two. What I saw, though, concerned me, and that was guys slipping.
Yeah.
I saw Tylee Collins slip, I think, three times.
The shoes, baby.
And
the shoes.
On that, on the last one, it was that third and 10 where if he makes that catch, he did make the catch, but if he doesn't slip and go to the ground, he's getting the first down. It's going to extend the drive for UNLV to go down and try to score the winning touchdown. It put them in the fourth and 10. He slipped on the punt return. And I think there was another slip earlier in the game, but
change his shoes, man. The kid's good.
The problem is I don't think they have shoes to change into.
Well, they better find shoes. They've been playing on Sam Boyd Stadium's turf for a long time. I did get a chance after the game to talk to Max Gillum, the quarterback of UNLV. You know, I like the kid. He transferred. He originally went to Cal. Then he transferred to Saddleback College in Arizona before he made his way to UNLV. Good kid. I like him. You know, I just think he's up against it like everyone. But this is Max Gillum after the game on Saturday. After
talking to Max Gillum, tough game, man. Really tough game. The way you guys fought at the end there, man. How you feeling right now?
I'm feeling not so great, but we definitely did some good things, some things to build off of. So just got to get back into the practice facility next week and get better.
What do you take from the game like this? I mean, do you use the end of the game the way you guys come back going forward?
Yeah, definitely glad that we had a chance to win. That's better than the previous week, so that's something to build off of. But we got to do a little bit better, obviously.
You guys took a one-point lead into halftime. What did Coach say to you guys? You know, it was a lead. You had the lead. You come out in the second half. What did he say?
Same thing he always says. Just play like it's 0-0. Keep playing. Keep executing. And obviously we didn't do it quite good enough.
Max, next week, you got a week to prepare for this. I know it's a cliche. You put this game behind you immediately and you start preparing tomorrow. Yeah. How easy is it for you? You're the quarterback, man. I mean, you just came out of a really tough game to really put this game behind you and start playing tomorrow.
We can't put it behind us until we watch it. We got to watch it, learn from it. But once we figure out what we did wrong and figure out all our mistakes, then we got to move on from it and use those to get better.
So what do you think the message is going to be this week when you get to practice, you start watching films tomorrow? What's going to be the message?
Just get better. We got to execute. That's the main thing is we didn't execute down the stretch, and that's what wins games.
Execution is huge. So is making adjustments during in-game and especially at halftime, something UNLV hasn't been really good at. They did play a good fourth quarter, like I said, but Max Gillum and the rest of his team's up against it. Tony Sanchez has got to figure out a way to put these guys in a better position to win. Maybe he just doesn't have the personnel, but I'll tell you what, he better find some answers really quick or he will be on the rail watching UNLV play for somebody else in the very near future. Listen, let's take a real quick break. No, you don't got to break. He doesn't got to break me. Come on in. We're going to bring them in now, Max. We'll wait on fact this for a minute. Let me bring in Sabrina Chapman. We are talking about, first of all, hello, welcome to the show, man. Come on in.
Good morning. And I have to say real quick, Magnum, you look amazing. I know
Thank
that
you.
The beard was your thing about a month ago. But clean shavens, looking pretty good. Looking pretty good.
Well, thank you. You're making me blush.
Yeah, well, he was getting a lot of things caught in the beard. You know, it was like you know, saving things for later became a cliche.
Yeah, you know what it was? I was at City National Arena one morning, and I had a bagel with cream cheese, and all of a sudden I went in the bathroom, and I could see cream cheese all over the side of my face and the beard. I was like, it might be time to get rid of this thing now.
Yeah, that's definitely time to call it quits. So, well, you look good. Thanks, Brian.
We'll talk about this spooktacular. We've got Halloween coming up right around the corner, and you guys are here to talk about a really cool new escape room that I think is starting this coming Saturday at Bally's Hotel and Casino. It's called Zoe. You go ahead. You're going to talk a lot about it a lot better than I will.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's called Zoe. It's an escape room series where you actually enter kind of like a haunted house. And then you're going to progress through different rooms. And each room is going to have its own challenge, its own set of terrifying excitement. We actually have, I don't know if you can see around here, we brought our lead actress, her name is Zoe. She has, she's actually pretty scary. I don't know. I'm terrified myself.
I'm getting a little scared now. Now that you said that, I didn't realize she's with us. Yeah, I'm a little scared.
Yeah.
At least you're in between us. I basically
I'm kind of the buffer zone.
I have two people in between us, her and her baby, so I'm safe here, right?
Yeah. So it stems out of California. So it is an attraction. It's gotten huge reviews out there, and we're super excited to bring it to Bally's. And actually, it's going to be opening October 27th. So it's best in groups. So get a group of friends.
How many people?
About
typically?
Six people.
Okay.
You can do it like 2 to 4, I would say. But yeah, groups of six. If you want to be scared, if you want to be challenged, if you want something that's a little bit different, definitely Zoe's the hottest thing on the strip right now. So we're super excited about it. And yeah, you're going
to
be there.
Oh, I am definitely going with a group. I want to go and check this out. And we want to give one away to some of our listeners, too. So we're going to give one away. Well, how many people can we?
We can actually give one away for 6 guests.
Wow.
That is a huge prize package. Tickets do start around $45. So if you want to bring 6 people, it's pretty awesome. And we're hooking up this deal just for you, Brian.
That is really cool. Listen, I'm gonna give you an opportunity on Facebook as well. So I'm going to have you call up. You can give us a call. The studio line is 702-876-1340. You can go on Facebook. You can say hello there as well. And I'll pick out a winner. There's no method to this madness. The show's called Out of Line for a reason because I'm completely off the chart.
I like being out of line.
Yeah,
who wants to be in line?
So,
nobody wants to call her in line.
It's not a matter of me picking your name or your number. I might look at your name and, you know, it might be interesting to me and you'll win. So just give us a call, get on Facebook, and we'll give you a chance to win. It is for 6 people to check out an escape room. And this is a hell of a value. If you know how much this is, these are like 50 plus bucks a person normally to go to this thing. So you're talking about a $300 value here, people. One step, you got to take me with you.
And
you can't be smarter than me either. That would be terrible. So, but really cool. So how do you go about, for the people that don't win, how do they go about getting an escape room experience?
Sure. So you're going to be able to go to any Caesars property.
Okay.
To the box office, as well as the website, which is Escaped Vegas. And Shelby, who's amazing, is right here with me. And she set up all
Shelby,
the social media.
Shelby, man. Come on, say hello to everyone. There you go.
Hey, everyone.
We got Naomi in the background. She's just lingering back there. That's kind of what she's supposed to do, right?
Yeah, she's just chilling.
Is that what it's called?
Don't mind her.
A little scary, man. Definitely. I like the outfit, the whole
thing. I'm super excited. I don't know if I'll personally have like enough guts to do it, but I don't know.
These things are hard, too.
I have to be like in the moment. Like, I don't know if I'm just going to show up and be like, right, I'm ready. Let's do this. Like, now, this is horror.
You know, it is, but do you show up in costume? Or, I mean, are you supposed to just show up normally, or are people showing up in costumes to this?
You can do either. So you feel in the Halloween spirit, go ahead, show up in your scariest costume.
Maybe, I'm wearing mine right now, so it's pretty good, huh?
I love that jersey. That's a really good jersey.
Yeah, well, you know, I wish I had to go with it. It'd be kind of better, you know. But anyways, pretty cool stuff. I'm really looking forward to this. It is a great opportunity. It starts this coming Saturday. And it's not something that's going to end at Halloween, right? This is going on. They're looking at having this for like a year or so, right? They're
going to have it as long as they can. So depending on the turnout, but let's hope for at least 6 weeks. Okay. We know we have a bunch of horror fans out there, so we want to keep it going as long as possible.
Really cool. Listen, man, sports fans, non-sports fans, this is a really great opportunity. Like I said, I will pick a winner. Mags has written down a few names. I'm getting some people here. And like I said, we'll make a decision for this. I really appreciate you guys coming in. And before you go, I want you to tell, next week you guys are going to be back, and we've got something else pretty cool to tell you about. So go ahead, Shelby, or both you guys,
yes,
chime in here.
We have two people that are very dear to our hearts. They are competing in Forged in Fire, Knife or Death 2. I mean, that sounds pretty intense. I don't know about you, but they are competing in this fall series. That's Joanna Trias and Mitchell Langan.
So, no, it's really,
super excited to have them in
and
studio.
I mean, you know, I said at first, you know, it's like, well, dude, this isn't sports. Yeah, it is. They call poker a sport. You're going to tell me what these people do isn't more dangerous and more intense and require more athletic ability and coordination than poker does? If they're going to put poker on ESPN, I'm putting this on my show. End of story, right?
Yes, it's okay. Very intense. I can't wait for you guys to meet them and kind of see their skill. It's crazy.
That's awesome. That's going to be next week again. Shelby and Sabrina, we appreciate you coming in. There she is, Naomi over there. She is the star of the show and looking as happy and as chipper as I've ever seen anyone. She's scaring the hell out of me, I got to tell you right now. So I wish that she was playing for the Detroit Lions going against the Dolphins today. We'd have a chance. Listen, so we're not taking a break, Mags. We're going to go right into Fact This.
Facts This. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact This.
Yeah, it is a fact that the World Series is now set. It will be the Los Angeles Dodgers, and they will be playing the Boston Red Sox, the best team in baseball, 108 victories this season. I said it before, way before the postseason started, nobody will beat the Boston Red Sox in a seven-game series. It makes me sick to say it, but it's the way it is. It makes me sick because there's like four key members of that team that are ex-Detroit Tigers. Maybe my Tigers would be better. But the truth of the matter is, I just don't think we're going to see a good series, Chris. I really think that we're going to see Boston. I'm going to say, I say they're going to sweep. I say by this time next week, while we're doing this show, the World Series is going to be over. It will be a four-game sweep. If not, after our show, we'll be game five, and it will end next Sunday night at the latest.
I don't think it'll be a sweep. I think the Dodgers will get one. I don't see this going seven games, and I hope I'm wrong because I really don't want to see the Red Sox win.
They have enough in Boston? Got the Patriots, not the freaking Red Sox. I'm tired of that damn city,
and
man.
And it's not that I'm a big Dodger fan, but to me, the Red Sox and the Yankees are the worst things in baseball, so anytime either of them lose, it's good because I can't stand either one of them, and I certainly can't stand the city of Boston or the Red Sox, so go Dodgers. But I think it's going to be a pretty big blowout. I think I can't see the Dodgers winning this. I just don't have a lot of faith in them right now.
The Red Sox are so packed. They're not quite like Alabama is in college football, but they are ridiculously packed. And well, Chris, week 7 NFL.
Yeah.
You were the only one that picked a winner last week. That's the first time that's happened. We never have just one person win.
Wow, I'm surprised Caleb lost.
Caleb lost for the first time in history. Caleb Herring, the ex-UNLV quarterback. You know what? I didn't get his pick yet, but I got it right after the show yesterday. I haven't even checked yet. I can't because we're doing Facebook Live. But we'll see what Caleb picks today. There are some intriguing matchups today and some things that scare me. You know, I don't know. What do you think about the Lions down in Miami? I know I spend too much time on the Detroit Lions, but
well,
but Chris, Miami's not a good team, but neither are the Detroit Lions. Why are they favored, man?
I think because a lot of people probably don't believe in Brock Osweiler. You know, he had a great game last week, but the reality is the Bears kind of blew that game.
You're talking about the Bears. I'm talking about Detroit and the Miami Dolphins.
No, I know. Brock Osweiler is playing quarterback for the Dolphins. Yeah, he had a great game last week, but that's his MO. He comes in, he has a great game the first time he starts, and then he turns into mush. So I think maybe that's why the Dolphins are favored. They don't have faith in Brock Osweiler. And to be quite honest with you, I don't have faith in him either. I think the Lions can win this one.
Oh, there's no question they can win it. But here's what I'm saying. They could easily lose this game.
They could easily lose it. Yeah. And if Osweiler plays like he did last week, they will lose the game.
And what about your Jets?
I like the Jets today. They're getting 3.5 at home.
Yep.
I'm not sold on Minnesota. They've taken a step back. They were a team that I thought at the beginning of the season was going to compete in the NFC for a Super Bowl.
They can't run the football.
Well, they can't run the football, and quite honestly, Stephon Diggs is not having his best season. I mean, he's having a good season, but I think a lot of people expected more out of him. Adam Thielen is having a really good season. Mm-hmm. But Minnesota's defense seems to have taken a step back, too. So I'm not so sure that the Vikings are a great play today. I actually did take the Jets. I'm not going to take them in this because it's a one-off, and I think there's better value and better teams and better plays out there. But I think the Jets are going to win today.
Who's your pick?
I'm going to take Kansas City, laying the 6.
Wow.
To Cincinnati. I was impressed with Kansas City in the second half of that game last week. I thought they should have won the game. I think is that a Sunday night game? That's the night game tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the night game tonight.
I'm not sold on Cincinnati. I think we saw who they were last week. They were exposed. Marvin Lewis is a buffoon. He's consistently exposed. I have a feeling Kansas City blows out the Bengals tonight at home. They're going to be angry. Cincinnati, not that good. The record shows that they have a better record, I think, than they are. I just think KC comes home angry. I think they're going to light up the Bengals tonight.
That is a little bit of a surprise, only because I expected KC to have a bit of a letdown game. I don't know why. I think that it's a game that KC... I think they're going to win, but I think it's going to be a field goal game. I don't know why. I think it's going to be much closer. Because, you know why? Whenever the line is this close, this should be...
It's not a close line, though. I mean, the Bengals are, what, 4-2?
Kansas City's -6.
Yeah, that's not a close line.
That's a close line for a team.
They're laying almost a touchdown. That's a lot of points.
Oh, that's not in the NFL. That's not a lot of points. Chiefs are head and shoulders. I understand the Bengals are 4-2.
How many other teams are laying more than 6 today?
A lot. Go through the list.
No.
The Colts are
laying 7.
7.5.
KC's laying 6.
The Rams are laying 9. Is that it?
That's it. There's only 2 other games where there's a bigger spread. So, yeah, 6 is a lot.
I think that not only do they cover, Cincinnati might win that game.
I don't see it.
You want to know what my pick's going to be?
Because I don't think Mahomes has a letdown.
Sooner or later, you have a letdown. He
did have a letdown in the first half last week.
But playing at New England, I think mentally it messed him up a little bit. All right, listen, Megs, I'm going to give you my pick, and I'm going to blow your mind with this one. I am going to pick the Giants at Atlanta on Monday night, and I think that Eli Manning is going to show a little bit of pride. He is getting so stepped on by the New York media right now, and deservedly so. But I just think he's going to show a little bit of pride. And here's the deal. People are like, wow, you're really going to pick Atlanta? I was talking about this yesterday. I'm like, Atlanta's a bad football team, too.
Yeah.
Who thinks Atlanta's like, wow, Atlanta's good? Yeah, they were in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. They're a shadow of that team right now. And Matty Dry Ice, man, that team's going down.
Their defense sucks, too.
They do. Horrible.
That's a bad thing. I mean,
yeah, I'll take the 4 points.
I had the over last week. Remember, I told you guys on my way out the door, bet the over in that one.
And yeah, you were right.
The Bucks came through in the second half and put up some points because they were, for a while there, it was looking like it wasn't going to even come close. And then second half letdown. The adjustments defense or offensive coordinators are making on this Falcons defense. I like the Giants as well. I'm not sure they're going to cover, but I think it's going to be a competitive game.
I think they're going to not only cover, like I said, I think they're going to win the game. I think they're going to win it outright in Atlanta. That's how bad I think Atlanta is. Neither one of those teams are going to make the postseason. Listen, we do this every Sunday morning from 8 to 9. My name is Brian Feldman. This is Out of Line. He's Chris Magnum Chapman behind the wheels of steel back there. And, of course, we've got a whole crew in here today. It's kind of cool having a little bit of an audience as well as people that participated. I can't wait to pick the winner of the Escape Room. Zoe, the Escape Room, starting Saturday at Bally's Hotel and Casino. You know, get out there, check this out, and one of you will get to go. I get to go too. It's kind of cool. I'm excited about it, and they'll be back next week again. We got something special for you. Also, probably Emily Van Buskirk, because I need her to explain college football to me, because right now it is like Alabama and everyone else. It's almost bothersome. I can't even watch it because there is nobody that is going to beat Alabama. I'm telling you right now, not unless like New England's going to go in there and they'll let the Patriots play them. This team is not going to lose this year. Mark it right now. They will win the national championship. Overdone. Chalk it up. Also next week, we might have another special guest for you. I'm not going to let you know who that is. We'll talk more about that next week. We'll have a more nightcap. And congratulations to the Golden Knights, people. Get off their asses. They are a good team. 4-4 is not a bad record at all. The second line will pick it up. Trust me on that. Once again, this is Out of Line. Check us out. Follow us. You can follow us on Twitter at Out of Line 1340 AM. The Facebook page is just Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. I want to thank everyone today. Golden Knights for joining us. I want to thank UNLV, the people in the studio. Thanks, Mags. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.